Okay, what we're going to do first, as I mentioned, is revisit the last module when we were playing a bit with some modalities. First we're going to revisit the exercise we call mapping across. So if you'll recall, I had you all think of something for mapping across to work. The content you're dealing with needs to be somewhat similar in the person's mind. So with Marilyn, if you remember when I did the demonstration with her, she said she was disorganized with all the stuff around her house, her papers. But when she was teaching school, and she was a music teacher, she had everything in order and knew exactly where she could find things. So that's like a things to things. Does that make sense to you? Whereas somebody might say, I don't do well, I don't do well with a group. And people who run groups say, the first session of a group, I don't do very well. I feel nervous. I feel out of balance. I'm uncomfortable because I don't know people on the first session. But after we've been going and I have rapport with the group, I feel just great. So that might be group situation to group situation. Somebody might say, I'm no good at delegating to my children at home tasks that they could do, but I am really good at delegating at work. I can do that well. Or I'm having trouble, I think I gave you this example, I'm having trouble figuring out the technology on my new, I just installed a Roku box. Had it installed on my TV. And, you know, again, that's another remote control. And figuring out which button to push to get something to work. And I might, so you might say, well, are there other things that seem like technology that you do pretty well, even though you're having a struggle with your Roku box? Well, yeah, I'm really good at making my phone work or my computer work. So again, the content, thing to thing, person to person, activity to activity, needs to be somewhat similar for your unconscious mind to make sense of what you're doing when we do this thing called mapping across. So mapping across is taking what works in a situation where we get wonderful results and plugging it into someplace else similar where we're not getting the results that we want. That's the structure. Now, I taught you how to do it with the spatial anchor. You remember that? I had you talk to somebody and then had you all stand up and we anchored the one situation, the physiology and the state that went with it. Then we break state in between. Make sure we have a breaker state. Then we went for, well, what's the situation where you're not doing it as well as you would like it? And what's that like? And we came back out. We check ecology by just saying, would there be any objection to you having new choices? And if there's no ecological concerns, then we bring what works in this one situation directly into the other situation. Now, when we're using submodalities, the whole structure of it is similar and yet much more in depth than what you might have been doing before. So we're going to do this process. You're going to have the opportunity to see me demonstrate how you ask the questions to get the submodalities. And so nobody mentioned anything about submodalities when we were talking about how you'd been using anything. What, since we did that exploration last module, where you looked at making things bigger or smaller or moving them around or changing, what have you become more aware of just knowing about submodalities, Aaron?
I noticed that Whenever I had a nervous thought in my head, a memory come up, that I was able to become more aware of it,
mm-hmm.
talking in the middle of my head, and then I picked it up and I moved it down to my left toe. And then I made it be less focused until the point where it was a cloud as opposed to a focal point.
You made it so fuzzy it turned into a cloud.
And
oh, how fun.
Gone.
And then it was gone.
Yeah, and there's been plenty of I bring those up often, so there's been like 5 or 6 in the past month where I've just been like, oh, I see what's going on here, and I just send it down there.
Okay, and you know exactly where his thought is located, by the way, he's gesturing out here.
Yep.
Send it down here, make it fuzzy, turn it into cloud, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Great application of it. Yeah, Naaman?
Mo had an interesting experience with some modalities when he came to my practice group.
Do you remember it, Mo?
Which one?
The one where you had to get up and go to your car to get some food.
Oh, yes, I did. How did it start? I forget.
I was going over some modalities and I had a picture of food that he.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, that's what it was. Yeah. He just said, picture something pleasant or something.
Uh-huh.
And we'd been practicing for a while and all I could think about was like a burger in front of my eyes. And then as he kept, you know, going, I'm like, no, picture it bigger and I started like salivating. And then we got done with the whole cell modality. I like ran to my car and grabbed like all the food I had in there.
I told him to make it brighter and I moved it closer. I said, keep moving it closer. And you could see his mouth start to twitch. He was tasting the food as it went closer.
Yeah. And then he was like, put it on the roof. And I was like, And it was like, I put it on the ground. I was like,
Now, so what you were demonstrating is they use submodalities in advertising and marketing all the time. It's funny because I happened to stop in a McDonald's the other day to get, I like their iced latte, their iced coffees, you know. And I sat down and was drinking it while I was there. And I looked at the pictures of the burgers up on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the burgers sitting on people's table and I went, that doesn't look the same, does it? And because they make them look bigger and fluffier. I mean, it's like the buns look more puffy. And I was thinking, I wonder if they put fillers in there for the pictures or what they do to make it look the way it does. And then when you get it, it doesn't look that way at all. Yeah, Nancy?
It's oftentimes actually not even food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like styrofoam,
right?
Because food doesn't look good enough.
Right, right.
Oftentimes, it's not even food that you get.
Right. Now, did you have to mention that? Yes, Lori.
My kids, the box of cereal does that, right? It's massive, and then it has a little. This is the actual size right here, right?
Uh huh.
The image is so big and sparkly and.
And they make it stand out. They make it stand out from its background and et cetera. So once you know about submodalities, you can realize that someone is trying to mess around a little with your brain in some of the things that they do to entice you to want to buy or, Photoshop it, yeah, So, and that's a great example of it. So we all are going to have the opportunity to do this process. So just like we did last module, I'm going to give you a chance to chat with somebody about what you might use this process for, because you're going to, after I demonstrate, you're going to go out and do it. So what's something, and again, in your mind, what is something that you have where you get good results? It could be an activity. It could be with persons. It could be with things. It could be with your thinking. Something where you have a good response to it. and you're pleased with what happens versus something in a similar category that you would like to fix. Have a different way of thinking about. Nancy.
I was just wondering, could you use this for the same thing? Like, okay, I'll actually give you an example.
Please.
I'm a coach. When I coach people, when I finish, it's like a high. And, you know, they're like, oh, this is great. But thinking about it, and even doing presentations, thinking about it, it's like, I don't know, I don't have that feeling, like, you know, that great experience feeling till afterwards, and I want it before. Can I do that for myself on this?
What do you guys think?
Yes.
Perfect example. It's a perfect example. When you are just thinking about it, you don't get the same emotional response. But you do have a way once you're in it to get the emotional response. So bring that into the thought process about it. See, it's your, when you're thinking about it, you're not thinking about it in the same way as when you're doing it. That's a great example. So coaching is the context, but it's actually doing it versus thinking about doing it. Yeah, okay. Anybody else have a question about what else you might use it with? No? Then I'm going to ask you to find somebody that you talk to, because the point of talking to them right now is to come up with an example that you can use for us to do this process on. Then I will do a demonstration, and you can go immediately after you've seen the demonstration into doing the press. Okay.
Isn't that accessing a state, though? The state post-earthling? Isn't that what that is? And I'm confused as to how that is not being submodality.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't ask her anything about submodalities, Horatio.
Okay.
We're looking for examples that you can use for submodalities. What we're going to do with this is find out what her submodalities are when she's actually doing the coaching versus thinking about doing the coaching. And we'll bring the submodalities of doing into the thinking process. So we haven't touched the submodalities yet. Yes, and it could, well, okay. And a part of what we're doing is demonstrating that your submodalities will be responsible for the internal state that you're accessing. We already played with that. If it's large and right here in front of you and it's got sparkles on it and et cetera, you'll have a stronger emotional state for that than you will something that's black and white and off in the distance. So that's where the submodalities will come into play. But we haven't gone there yet. First, I want you to find something to work with. Is your assignment clear? So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to talk with somebody else, write it down, then we'll do a demonstration and you can go do it after we take a break. Okay, find somebody to talk to come up with an idea.